So, Mike, you were involved in the divorce action group since the 80s. What was the political influence of the church at the time, and how do you think this was expressed in the political landscape?
Well, I think the church had a massive political influence in the 86 campaign. And in fact, in a survey that was done afterwards, religiosity was one of the main things that actually swung the referendum against, because if you would recollect, the opinion polls were showing two-thirds in favour prior to the 86 campaign taking off. And at the end of it, they lost by two-thirds. So part of that large swing was definitely due to religiosity.
And to what extent was the Catholic campaign in the first referendum driven by the official church and by the sort of extra church Catholic route?
Well, I think it was 50-50, if you like. What happened was that the church itself definitely came out very strongly against and brought out official leaflets and, you know, leaflets that, for instance, Love is for Life, and, you know, at every mass there would have been, you know, from the pulpit there would have been something about it and about it being anti the church ruling and whatever. So the official church definitely was very strongly against it and came out that way. And then you had the Catholic right and, well, not just Catholic right, but mainly Catholic right, family solidarity, etc., who were massively against and were a very conservative Catholic line on it.
Okay, and then for the second campaign, what do you think the differences were in terms of the involvement of the official church and the sort of extra church right?
I think there were two things that happened. First of all, with the official church, it had begun to lose a certain amount of power. And I think to contextualise, you have to remember that what they thought would happen when the no vote was, you know, came against us, was that it would all go away. And obviously it didn't go away. And what had happened was during that campaign, a lot of people spoke out and became public about their own situations. And more people then officially separated. A lot of them may have been separated before that, but actually said it. So suddenly you had families who had, virtually every family had somebody who had been affected in some way. So because of that, the church didn't have quite the same sway anymore. And it was realised that by saying no, it didn't solve anything. So I think you had a more mature electorate at that stage. The people, they might have been still been going to church to an extent, but they weren't necessarily going to be swayed in the same way. And then with the Catholic right, or the family solidarity et al., they didn't have as much sway either, because of the fact that people had, you know, a lot of time to reflect on the issues afterwards. And the other thing about it as well was that the church had begun to lose its own influence, and the far right had begun to lose influence to a certain extent as the country matured.
What was the difference in the two campaigns between the sort of influence the church could have on politicians and politicians being able to speak out?
That was a very significant thing. If you think during the first referendum, Fianna Fáil said that it was on the fence, but in fact it was on the fence to the no side as opposed to on the fence to the yes side. And it very much was influenced by the church as well. There would have been an element in it. And for instance, Senator Des Hanifin would have been one of the leading lights, was a Fianna Fáil senator, if you remember. So yes, the church did influence, and it was, you know, it was the old establishment thinking, the old Fianna Fáil thinking was very much influenced there. Come the second referendum, Fianna Fáil were actually supporting. And so there was a massive difference there, because even people like Michael Woods, who would have been felt to be very much family solidarity or Knights, it would be rumoured that he actually spoke on platforms in favour. So there was a massive shift there as well. And there were probably less politicians in Fine Gael as well who were coming out against.
And do you think the makeup of the extra church kind of right changed between the two campaigns?
Yes, I think that they had lost credibility to a certain extent, and therefore were probably seen as being more extreme. And you recollect as well that there have been a couple of abortion, anti-amendment campaign, all those kind of things in the meantime. So it the same people were seen to be active on the ground in all of these things. So I think that would have had an effect on people as well, that it reiterated the fact that it was a specific grouping.
Are you talking about youth defence there?
Youth Defence, but also Family Solidarity and the likes of William Binchy, for instance, that would have been appearing on all those campaigns. So I think it reiterated to people that it was very much a political thing as opposed to it being the issues.
And did their tactics change, or as someone who was involved in the campaigns at the time, the sort of, would the tension or the temperature or the sort of your dealings with those people have sort of changed between the referendums?
Yes, I would have said the first referendum would have been very much just Family Solidarity on the opposition. The second referendum, Youth Defence, as you say, and there was an influence of American far right, and there was funding from the American far right definitely for some of that campaign. And they tended to be, much more shock tactics, like the Hello Divorce, Bye Bye Daddy, those kind of posters and whatever. So it was more in-your-face kind of stuff and more aggressive. I think the first one had been more civilised, if you like.
After your experience in the two divorce campaigns, what would your thoughts have been on the various scandals as they came unearthed in the church? First of all, for example, I suppose the initial scandals were really about bishops and clergy having affairs and living in relations that they would have criticised before.
Obviously the amount of hypocrisy that was there was astounding, really, and the more that came out, the more you felt that. I have to say myself, I felt a profound sense of sadness for people who had believed these people and had believed in them. And, you know, people that had a simple faith, older people especially, who would have voted anti, even though they would have had people in those circumstances and have felt sorry for them, but would have been influenced by the church and influenced by the bishops. And even, for instance, Bishop Comiskey, just before the second referendum, he disappeared from the scene. And he had been writing particularly virulent articles about step-parents being likely to abuse and all this kind of stuff. So, he was out of the scene for the second one. But I do think that, you know, when the scandal started, that there were a lot of people who were very, very disillusioned. And most of us, who had been, campaigning, would have known a lot of the stuff or would have had ideas about it. And, people wouldn't believe you and would think that you were just scaremongering when you were saying these things. So it wasn't that, we were gleeful that they were happening. But we did feel for the people who had that genuine, simple faith that were being affected by it.
Mm-hmm. Looking at Ireland now and, say, as it was before the first campaign, obviously the role of the church in the country has changed quite a lot. What would you put that down to? Would you say that it's due to sort of less faith? Is it due to campaigns like the one you're involved in and the sort of similar campaigns? Is it due to a more secular society in general? Or?
I think it's all of the above, because really those kind of campaigns, as I say, there's a naivety, for instance, about the 86 campaign. There wasn't as much naivety when you got to 1995. People were more aware, because if you think about it, it was, the old Ireland behind closed doors was being dismantled, and people were actually coming out and stating that they're in these situations. And if you take, for instance, even things like gay rights and whatever, that would have all been under the carpet, if you go back to the old Ireland, if you like. So, those changes were taking place, and, younger people were not prepared to put up with the same, people travelling more, the influence of TV, all of those things would have made changes in the way we looked at society.
To what extent do you think the power of the Catholic Church to dominate things has been broken now, or would you say that you're still a fairly strong force in our society?
They probably are a strong force with maybe older people. I don't think with younger people that they're prepared to take any of what older people would have taken. So I think there's a generational thing there. But definitely, if you think about a lot of the coverage there has been about all the scandals, especially the paedophilia, that has caused a massive breakdown in trust for people. So I don't think that the church would ever be viewed in the same way again.